It's Friday, and that means it's another edition, number 57, of the Zogby Report Real and Unscripted. Jeremy and I take a look at some news, short-term and long-term, and think out loud about it. And you never know what I'm going to throw at you.
Not really.
And I generally don't either. So on the drive-in, this is what I came up with. Okay, tell me if you're up to it. In the short term, we have two politicians. We're going to be bipartisan. We have a Republican Senator Ted Cruz and a Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo who are in trouble. Why are they in trouble? Should they be in trouble? When is it that politicians get really in trouble, and when do things blow over? I'd like to explore that a little bit. I have some thoughts. Over the longer haul, the second half of this, let's just think ahead a little bit on the basis of what we know and what we think post-COVID. There are some sociologists who are arguing that once we know we're safe, that there's herd mentality that has developed, and there is a sense that we can breathe freely, that Americans are going to go on a wild binge socially. They are likening it to post-World War I, the Roaring Twenties, the Lost Generation, post-World War II, the post-war baby boom and refrigerators and then television sets and automobiles, a binge. Will there be a post-COVID binge or a new normal? How do those sound?
I think it's good.
Okay, good. All right, so let's talk about when politicians get in trouble. As of this moment, I think you would agree, in the eye of this storm, literally and figuratively, Ted Cruz is in trouble, and Andrew Cuomo is in trouble. For those who don't know the details, I wouldn't really have to belabor the details. Ted Cruz decided to take an ill-begotten trip to Cancun with his family in the middle of, at that point in time, there were still a couple of million Texans under the worst imaginable conditions, freezing and then flooding. Then he, when confronted, he blames it on his daughters.
I didn't hear about that.
No, he said my daughters had some time off and were moaning, his words, and begging to go someplace warm. And then later on, he confessed that it was his wife who was saying, it's freezing in the house, let's go somewhere warm. During all this time, I mean, initially, what he was saying was that the daughters wanted to go, and he was being a good father. He was flying them down, make sure they were safe, and then flying right back. Look, all of that blew up. None of that, as it turns out, is true. So now there are calls for his resignation, calls for his removal. Democrats, there are no Republicans standing in line saying free Ted Cruz. You know, not to stick with storm metaphors, but does this blow over, or is this the sort of thing that can undo a politician? I have some distinct thoughts, but I mean, what's your first thought at that?
It should undo a politician. We've talked about the obvious populism, the populist sentiment that has grown. I mean, this is case in point, right? I mean, we learned in high school history about during the French Revolution and the famous let them eat cake, the famous $1 million pearl necklace. Well, I mean, learn from history that when people can't eat bread, don't flaunt your wealth, don't flaunt your privilege. Not only don't do it from a PR perspective, but don't do it from a moral standpoint. I'm sure Ted Cruz has a pretty nice wood fire stove in the basement, in the first floor, and upstairs. And even if he doesn't, he can get one done, right? You've got people chopping wood at 2 a.m. You've got people who froze
their own furniture.
Their own furniture, yeah. Froze to death.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Gavin Newsom, you know, lockdowns for thee, but not for me. Businesses can crumble, and you need to abide by the rules. But I get to go to parties, you know. I'm going to say that it is beyond wrong. I'm going to say that it's actually sociopathic. It's sociopathic because you know that people are suffering. Don't flaunt it. Don't flaunt what you have and what you can do in the worst of times. So right now we're exclusively focusing on Ted Cruz, but make no mistake about it, and I know you would agree, Andrew Cuomo is just as
we're going to get to him in a second.
Irreprehensible.
And I'm going to agree with you absolutely, but let's stick with Ted Cruz. He was first in line to criticize Gavin Newsom.
Yeah,
and also the mayor of Austin who flew down to Mexico.
Yeah,
inexcusable sort of stuff. I think when politicians get in trouble, it is because the action or the quote brings out, highlights what everybody feels is the worst of either politicians or the specific politician. So, for example, Bill Clinton wrote out the Monica Lewinsky scandal because people would say, that's Bill Clinton. You know, we never expected any different or any more from him.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump rewrote every possible book about utilizing public office to benefit himself, yeah. Flouting the law. That was Donald Trump. You know, no one could say, well, I expected differently. In the case of Ted Cruz, this highlights what folks have been saying for years about him, that he is an elitist, he is arrogant,
mm-hmm.
and he's a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And cruel. And so in my book, I don't think he rides this out.
No, no. There's only so much that this can happen. Recall what Bill Clinton did, and this is a perfect case study. You can only fool people for so long,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, during the whole Monica Lewinsky affair, Bill Clinton wagged the dog. He tried to distract the public by focusing on Serbia
mm-hmm.
and bombing the bejesus out of the Serbs, right? And it was a humanitarian. Well, obviously, what was going on in the Balkans was a humanitarian crisis, but it was nothing even close to the genocide that happened in Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
So why did he send in troops into the Balkans, but left alone the humanitarian crisis in Rwanda, which was much worse, because it was obvious he was wagging the dog, as the movie suggests. He got away with it. And then, you know, every president after that had some major crisis or some major scandal and got away with it. But I think you're right. I don't, this time around, because it's so rampant, I don't think he gets away with it.
This is not an instance where one community, one section of town is without power. At one point, you had 7 million
yeah.
Texans, or 7 million households.
Yeah.
And that took days to come back. So let's talk about our governor.
Yeah.
Andrew Cuomo, in trouble, deservedly so. And in his instance, you know, I was never a fan, but I gave him high marks, including on this this podcast in the early days of COVID. I thought that he was forthright. he was being honest. He was telling people, I don't know the answer when he didn't. I do know the answer when I do. And he was meeting with the press on a daily basis. Where this particular scandal hurts, I think, is that it shows that behind that veneer of being forthright, he wasn't. He was actually out and out, flat out and out lying.
Mm-hmm.
And in an insulting sort of way, fudging numbers or holding back real numbers on nursing home deaths for fear that those numbers could be used against him politically. I think this is the sort of thing that really hurts.
And what an insult to say, to come up with an excuse and say, well, we were doing this because Trump was going to attack us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you remember the scandal with the actresses that got the falsified whatever to get their kids into college?
Oh yeah, of course.
And I mean, that was, you know, people were devastated by that.
Mm-hmm.
By it, and it was criminal, and they both deserved to go to prison. But for some reason, that was like, you know, the biggest story for a month or two. And I would talk to people and they say, I can't believe this. Well, now we have a politician who took that and exponentially did something worse, fraudulent behavior, fraudulently miscalculating numbers for political purposes. And he comes up with the excuse saying, well, you know, Trump was going to attack us. I mean, if I find a way to cleverly falsify my SAT score to get into Harvard, and then they say, Jeremy, why did you do it? Well, you know, my dad, you know, he would have said, son, there's a long line of people who in our family who went to Ivy League. You've disappointed me. So I falsified it so that my dad wouldn't be upset with me. It's preposterous. You can't justify it yet. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not really on social media, with exception to LinkedIn for obvious reasons. But friends were sharing with me statements that people have been making in light of this discovery, and people we know and people, you know, random people saying, I don't see what the big deal is here. Why is this such a big deal? What does it matter? It's like, even when your leader is wrong, you have to justify your leader. That's dangerous.
So in the case of Cuomo, another thing was revealed. An assemblyman from New York City reporting that one of those private calls that some in state government are accustomed to getting from the Cuomos, first Mario and then Andrew, saying that if you don't have my back on this one, I will destroy you.
Yeah.
Now, anybody who knows Andrew Cuomo knows that kind of behavior is true. He's a bully.
I would say bully is understating, but.
But this Democratic assemblyman is risking his career by stepping forward. At the same time, you do see that Democrats are now stripping him of some of his pandemic powers.
Yes.
And you're seeing Republicans calling for his impeachment. That's not going to get anywhere, the impeachment part, unless this continues and it gets worse. But what we do see, I think, is someone who had been planning to run for another term, who's and that's 2022.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not far away. Who's probably not going to be able to run for another term. So this kind of behavior will have consequences, Cruz and Cuomo.
Yeah, and let us not forget the accusation of sexual assault that has conveniently been slipped down the memory hole, except for those who are critical. If you're critical of Cuomo, you recall that. If you've kind of been a fan of his or you like him and you think he's done a great job, you just moved it aside. So not only are politicians going to be called into question because of this, but also the media.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, when Stormy Daniels came out, that was 24/7, right?
Yeah.
It's when it's the guy that you hate, pump the hate, project the hate, and get the population to reflect the hate from coming from the source of the media, which is not the job of the media, by the way. That's where we've devolved. But when it's your guy or your lady, even Joe Biden was accused of groping a woman. I believe it was in Nevada. Sweep it aside. Don't talk about it. This is our.
Well, I think it was talked about.
It was talked about, but it wasn't the outrage. It was swept under the carpet. It wasn't as bad as when say Trump did it. And there's just no justification of it. If there is someone who comes out and says that there are accusations of sexual assault, you have to be fair in your coverage.
But I think there was a lot of coverage of her, and that was more icky than it was sexual assault. He was smelling her hair, basically. Look, I'm not condoning that. It makes you say ooh, but to link that with, say, Harvey Weinstein behavior. Now, there's a liberal,
Look, Matt the woman Lauer. Said she was mortified. The woman said that she was horrified. And really, the only Democrat that I remember that jumped on it was AOC. And she, and I usually don't agree with much of that, what comes out of AOC's mouth, but she was right. If you're going to talk about believe women, you better believe all women and not just some women.
That's where our Senator Kirsten Gillibrand got into some trouble by help me out from Minnesota.
Franken.
Al Franken.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well I was still building up to a point that this is also going to test the media where, I mean, let's be honest here. With Cuomo, there's a little bit of what we call COI, conflict of interest, right? Mm. We got another Cuomo in CNN. Now, to what extent will this be covered over the long haul like we've seen other cases?
I think it's being covered.
It's being covered.
And I think it's covered well. I do know that CNN has issued a fatwa that Chris Cuomo was not to interview his brother. That makes sense.
Absolutely. But back to my point that, yes, the CNN has been covering it, but will they continue and will they put the pressure like they've done with other politicians that they don't like, where they put the pressure, this person has got to go. This person has got to go. So Andrew Cuomo deserves equal coverage of his three crimes, one of them potential, right? Because, I mean, let's face it, we want to live in a society of law and order, right? Where you're innocent until proven guilty. And so this woman has come out and said that she was sexually assaulted. We got to hear the case. We have to hear the evidence. But don't cover it for a week and then move on to the next topic. I'm afraid that that's what's going to happen, but I want to see equal coverage for Cuomo. I want to see equal coverage for Cruz, and I want to see the pressure that they need to step down. The gentleman, not really a gentleman, but the person in, I don't remember his name, in the Biden advisory committee, who also said, "I will destroy you."
Oh yeah.
At least had the grace to step down.
He did not have the grace to step down. He was forced to step down.
Well,
there was nothing graceful about it.
Well, I'm giving him credit because he did it within 48 hours.
Yes.
Okay. We don't see Andrew Cuomo doing that. If Andrew Cuomo has any self-respect, he would follow suit.
We have to see. In order for it to be a news story, we have to see how it plays out. We know the basics. Now, is there more? That will be covered. If there isn't more, then it sort of dies. What kind of action results? If there is a full-scale movement to impeach, that will be covered. If there are more assembly people or public officials who come out of the woodwork and say, look, I was threatened as well, yeah. It then will be covered.
But there's the elephant in the room that we need to address, and this comes from people who are granted power.
Mm-hmm.
When they're granted power, it drives them mad. They feel that they are above the law. This craving from the public that we need to give our leaders, you know, almost unlimited power. Nobody really in the history of humankind can deal with that kind of power and not be corrupted by it. Andrew Cuomo is a result, that this situation is a result of him being given emergency power. So I would like to see those powers revoked, because this is the kind of
first
behavior.
Step is that they've been severely limited as of this morning.
Yeah.
But I don't know the details or how that's going to play out. So let's just touch on a topic, but I want to continue in more detail next week. Are we going to binge, or are we going to change our behavior and live in a pandemic world? Are we immediately going to go off into another roaring 20s, so to speak?
Why don't you start?
All right. I think this is one of those instances where we're changed forever. Unlike 9/11, where, you know, there was the shock and it lasted, and then we went right back to normal behavior. I think in this instance, because the pandemic was so broad that it was all 50 states, approaching at this point in time 500,000 dead, something that's global, and something that is mutating, which suggests that we could be in a permanent pandemic or permanent pandemic fear society. I think our personal behaviors are going to change. I think we're going to be reluctant to be in large physical gatherings. I think the era of hugging strangers and kissing on both cheeks a new colleague or a new acquaintance, those sorts of things are going to going to dissipate. I think schooling will be changed forever. We may go back to classrooms, but we're not going to go back to crowded classrooms and crowded schools. Workplaces, you're going to have 70-80% of workplaces that are going to be virtually empty and virtually working, you know, either at home or in other personal spaces.
I mean, I could see where there's the potential for that to happen. It just really all comes down to how much of the population is going to go along with that. I don't know. I mean, much of the population already, you know, is acting in this that kind of behavior or going towards it. But it's really difficult to say. I mean, there is a counter narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people who even cite from the horse's mouth. You know, I mean, even Klaus Schwab himself of the World Economic Forum has said that this pandemic, by comparison, is not even as lethal as, say, the Hong Kong flu, mm-hmm. or especially the Spanish flu. Yet it's a great opportunity to usher in the fourth industrial revolution. So, I mean, I'm not going to make any comment about that. You analyze that for yourself, you know, what you think about that. But there are increasingly more people who hear that kind of stuff and who think that the pandemic is, they say, well, you know, 2 years ago, there were millions of people who died from pneumonia. There were people who've died from other diseases. Why is it that all of a sudden and not before in the past? Did we not take such measures? There's a counter narrative, and it just really comes down to which one is going to win the day. And right now, It's hard to say.
Mm-hmm. So we'll leave it at hard to say. Okay. And we will see everybody. Well, we won't see anybody, but you'll see us next week.
As always.